fighting for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure from his perspective the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. And we continue on talking about pocketbook issues. Lee Schalk with us from the National Taxpayers Union. Andrew Moylan, Executive Director and Senior Fellow at the R Street Institute as well, talking about internet taxes and whether or not we need a new federal internet tax, what it means for big businesses, small businesses, all businesses here in the Gem State and beyond. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at 580-KIDO. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So first trip to Idaho or?
This is my first trip to Idaho since I was a kid. So my first trip in anything like consciousness, I suppose.
Sure, sure.
First trip ever for me.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the idea of taxation and what you both are in town for.
Yeah, I think the sort of short explanation is this, that we have this big fight that's been going on in Washington, D.C., but also here on the state level on internet sales tax issues. And you have legislators and other business folks that are working desperately to try to expand the reach of government on the internet and to try to, unfortunately, in our opinion, squeeze out small online-based businesses. And so what we're doing here today is talking about poll results that our organizations put together and asking folks here in Idaho what they think about it. And the results are pretty large in opposition to these kinds of schemes.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us at the National Taxpayers Union. We want to give a voice to the voters and taxpayers in Idaho. I think we're used to seeing coming out of Washington a certain point of view on the Marketplace Fairness Act that would expand the online sales tax, and it's that it's fair, it's best for all Americans. But what our poll results really show is that Idaho voters have a different perspective.
And what is that?
Well, so we asked a question about the sort of concept of the Marketplace Fairness Act, and the top line results were 52% opposed to just 32% in favor, so by a 20-point margin. But what's interesting about it is not so much the top line number. It's when you look at the breakdowns that, you know, maybe no surprise, conservatives oppose it by a 24-point margin, but moderates oppose it by a 16-point margin, and even self-identified liberals oppose it by a 9-point margin. So I think that tells the story here that there is a kind of baseline skepticism across the political spectrum about this concept of internet sales tax legislation, and folks are concerned about that.
How big does this impact the small businesses, the internet sales tax?
I think it has a huge impact. I think that when you look at big box retailers, obviously they can adapt. It's not going to be extremely difficult for them to cope with something like the MFA. But when you look at small online e-retailers, it could be huge. And I think that when you realize that there are nearly 10,000 sales tax jurisdictions in the U.S., that presents a huge compliance burden for small businesses. And it opens them up to potentially a couple mistakes when they're attempting to comply. And unfortunately, if MFA were to be passed, it would allow an out-of-state revenue collection agency in New York, for example, who could come after, in theory, an Idaho small business.
That wouldn't be good. I mean, business is already tough enough when you're talking about small businesses. The government seems to really reinforce the penalties for people that want to live their dream, if you will. I mean, the paperwork, you gentlemen know all about that, the double taxation, unemployment tax, this, that, and the other. Then you're adding not just a new revenue collection for the government, but more paperwork to go through. So less time actually doing business and more time doing paperwork.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And of course, you know, as Lee mentioned, that's going to have a disproportionate impact on small businesses. And, you know, in a state like Idaho, where you have relatively sparse population, you know, the only way that a small business is going to be able to compete with the big box retailers is by expanding their market beyond just the folks who can drive into their store in a, you know, 20, 30, 50 mile radius, and expand it out beyond with the internet. And so placing those kinds of paperwork burdens on them, which can be pretty substantial, is going to be a huge problem. It's going to, you know, potentially put online businesses, small online businesses, out of business entirely. And that's a major concern when you have this kind of legislation that's moving its way through. And, you know, I think that you see in the poll results that folks in Idaho agree that there's major concerns there.
Now, before we get to Linda and Meridian here at 580 KIDO, how big is the digital footprint when we're talking business? Obviously, we have Amazon. We have others, but, you know, for the small retailer, is it really a hidden gem that you can, you know, take your business to the next level if you go to the digital platforms, if you go online?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we've seen the kind of development of competition and business models over the years that, you know, 50 years ago, everything was conducted in brick and mortar, sort of mom and pop stores. That model was revolutionized by Walmart and big box retail and putting together these huge stores, negotiating, you know, tougher deals with suppliers and passing on lower costs to people. And this is sort of the next iteration of that, I think, where you have folks utilizing the internet to have an even smaller physical footprint to, you know, ship out of warehouses rather than to have hundreds or thousands of stores across the country. And what that has also done is it, I think, has sort of paradoxically empowered those mom and pop businesses to again compete. That if you have a sort of specialty retail, you know, if you're selling cowboy boots in Texas or something, that now your market isn't limited to just to folks who can get to you in Texas. You can sell all across the country. And that's something that we see reflected here in Idaho, that there are specialty product stores that have been very successful in doing that.
You know, I have a friend of mine, he sells bull belts. And, you know, belts excel. I did some research, and the words are very inexpensive. Now, you houses or whatever, but he buys these words from Google. And he has a website, bullbelts.com, I believe, does incredibly well. And he lives in Ohio, but if you did that here in Idaho or anywhere else for that matter, and it's ingenious because he makes a lot of money, has no inventory, just really is the middleman, if you will. But all of a sudden, if you're taxing folks at the federal level, you know, again, the profits are going to go away. You're going to limit growth.
Yeah, and I think kind of what is at the core of our poll results and what Idaho voters clearly realize is that they want to protect these small businesses and they want to protect these profits, especially at a time when our economy has been stagnant. We need the internet to remain as free from government regulation and taxation as possible. And that is spelled out very clearly in these results. And to just reemphasize what Andrew pointed out earlier, it's not just conservatives. It's not just Republicans, the folks who, you know, typically have that knee-jerk reaction to a new tax. It's self-identified independents, Democrats, moderates, liberals.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if people say they frequently shop online or if not. They're all coming out opposed to the idea of a national online sales tax mandate.
Let's go to the phones, and Ray, what we'll do is I'll just turn off all the mics, so you'll turn off them, and it's because our headphone budget is gone the way of the wind, if you will, and we'll go to Linda in Meridian at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. I do have a question for these gentlemen, and I don't know if they're going to know the answer, but a question that I've had for years is if I'm in Idaho and I buy a product from Colorado, whether it's in a catalog or on the internet, I feel that I should pay Colorado sales taxes because the business is in Colorado, the product is coming from Colorado. If I were to drive over to Colorado and buy it, I would pay Colorado sales tax. So I don't understand why if I'm in Idaho, why do I have to pay Idaho sales tax if I'm buying a product from Colorado?
All right, Linda, why don't you hang up and we'll answer the question. Thank you.
That's a great question. She put her finger right on sort of one of the core issues here, which is, you know, who gets to collect sales tax? And so to answer her question, if she's based in Idaho and buys something from a Colorado retailer, they would not have to collect Idaho sales tax, assuming they don't have a physical presence here in Idaho. That's the kind of basic limitation that we have placed on state governments today. We say you can only force a business to collect your sales tax if they're physically present within your jurisdiction. And that's a a key protection to make sure we don't have these kind of predatory cross-state tax issues. But what she suggests, I actually think, is the right ultimate answer to this, because there is a concern that you hear, and it's not a crazy one, from brick-and-mortar retailers that says, you know, we have a brick-and-mortar presence here. We have to collect for every sale we make. But if you have an online business that's based in, you know, your friend's business in Ohio or what have right. you, they don't have to collect in Idaho because they don't have a physical presence here. That means I can't compete and sell belts against them. And, you know, I think that Linda put her finger right on the answer, which is to have businesses collect sales tax based on where they are physically located for everything. So in your friend's case, he would collect Ohio sales tax for all the sales he makes. For businesses based here in Idaho, they would collect Idaho sales tax for the business, for the sales that they make. And I think that that's a way to do it that's fair, that doesn't give state government this kind of new unbounded tax power, and that doesn't threaten, you know, small businesses with having to comply with 46 sales tax states and 10,000 taxing jurisdictions.
Right.
And I would just add one illustration we like to point out is that if I drive from Idaho to Colorado and I walk into a store, they're not going to ask for my ID and say, oh, you're from Idaho, we're going to charge this sales tax. No, you're going to pay the sales tax of the store that you're in. So I think that's along the lines of what Andrew's pointing out as what might be a more viable solution.
How big do we have any numbers of just how big the online industry is?
Yeah, we do, and it's actually surprisingly small. So about 7 cents out of every dollar in retail sales is conducted online. So,
only 7 cents?
Yeah, wow. And it's growing. It certainly is growing rapidly, and everybody expects that it will expand from there. But it really goes to show that for the vast majority of products still today, for the vast majority of people, that commerce is being conducted in brick-and-mortar stores. So I think we have this image that the Internet's like, you know, a third or a half of commerce, and it's just eating the lunch of everything brick-and-mortar, but that's not yet the case.
Well, Amazon would like you to think that.
Yeah, they would like you to think that, and they would like to make it true.
Right.
And they've been working on that. You know, they have... the Amazon's sort of the perfect example of this new business model of being, you know, putting together these warehouses where, you know, I mean, listen, if you're a Walmart, you have thousands of products in your store.
Sure.
Even on the best of days, you're only going to sell a few hundred of them. You got to, you know, keep the lights on, sweep the floors, clean the bathrooms, keep everything nice. You know, so maybe that business model doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe the best business model is to have a warehouse and just ship it to people. Maybe it's some combination of the two. I have no clue. The concern, I think, that we have is that the Marketplace Fairness Act and some of these other bills are basically trying to put government's thumb on the scale and say that if you use online, if you use the internet to expand your presence, that we're going to make you jump through all these hoops that we don't make those brick and mortar stores jump through. And they're, you know, trying to sort of rework the outcomes.
Sure.
And I think, too, it's worth mentioning that the big box retail stores right now, they account for the vast majority of online sales. So they're doing well in both departments.
Much more coming up. It is 8:17 at 580KIDO. If you have a question about the Internet tax, the proposed federalization, I guess, of the Internet tax, we'll talk about that. We'll find out just why Idaho is so significant that we have these gentlemen here from Washington. We'll talk about that and much, much more. We'd love to hear from you, 580-5436, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, as we continue on talking about the proposed new federal internet sales tax. Now, you all are going to be here at the State House coming up very soon. Is that right?
We're in town today doing a bunch of different events, talking to legislators, talking to media folks, talking to business owners about what the impacts of the Marketplace Fairness Act would be and about what the poll results show about how folks here in Idaho have responded to that.
And what about nationally? What do people think?
Well, funny you should ask. Our organizations, the National Taxpayers Union and the R Street Institute, actually did a national version of, you know, here we're talking about a state-level poll. Last year we did a national poll, and it followed up on a Gallup poll where they asked about this concept of the Marketplace Fairness Act, and they found 57% of people saying they were opposed to it, but they didn't do the kind of deep-dive demographic breakdown, so our organizations joined together to do that kind of deeper dive. And we came up with, actually, to our pleasant surprise, the same top line number, 57% of folks that were opposed to it. So hopefully that speaks well of its reliability. But then we broke it down, and you can look at, you know, income, You can look at rural versus urban. You can look at, you know, partisan identification. You can look at anything, you know, any which way you slice it. We found huge margins of opposition, in most cases double-digit margins of opposition to it. So I think the opposition to this sort of concept is pretty broad and pretty deep across the country.
Yeah, I think that this is very important for National Taxpayers Union. First of all, at the state level, we have over 2,500 members here in Idaho, and we've worked with taxpayers here going back to the 80s and 90s on everything from gas taxes to property tax hikes that we've fought. And so I think that this poll is a great way for us to give a voice to those taxpayers in Idaho. And again, at the national level, we're probably the nation's largest taxpayer group with over 362,000 members nationwide. And so, as Andrew mentioned, we've had multiple polls on the Marketplace Fairness Act, and we want to give a voice to taxpayers and to all Americans who we've seen by a significant margin oppose such a tax.
Let's go back to the phones, and we go to David in Givens Hot Springs at 580KIDO.
Hey, Kevin, just to show you how the government is intertwined and how their tentacles for taxes reach out to everybody. In 2002, I bought a 1946 Cessna 140 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And originally sold in 46 for $5,200. I bought it in Tulsa, and I flew it back in February, and first trip across the Rockies, and 85 horsepower. And I get here, and after filling out the paperwork in Tulsa, the paperwork went through the federal government. It went to the Idaho Department of Transportation, and guess what? They sent me a letter. Greetings. You owe about $1,000 on sales tax for that poor little old airplane. Just give you an example. So we're far from freedom here in the United States. They got you.
All right, David, thank you, and we'll give it to the panel. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I love that because it shows actually the one area where we have – technically we have two different taxes, one called the sales tax, which most folks think about when they go in a store and make a purchase, but the other called the use tax. And the use tax exists for sales where the sales tax wasn't collected. So theoretically, if you buy something from out of state, as the caller did, and then bring it back to Idaho, and the way that, you know, normally you think about that with in relation to cars, that if you bring a car across the border and register it, you have to pay that use tax. But that's the only place that the use tax is even remotely enforceable. This idea that governments could ever potentially enforce that on every Amazon purchase and sort of nickel and dime audit folks is crazy, which is why it doesn't happen. And so because revenue agencies would really prefer not to have to knock on your door and audit your every purchase from Amazon or eBay or Overstock, what they're really hoping to do is to force out-of-state businesses to collect that sales tax and send it for them. And, you know, that way they don't have Idaho constituents getting angry at them. They have Idaho constituents getting angry at out-of-state business owners instead. And, you know, that's sort of one of the core problems here.
Now, quickly, where is our congressional delegation on all this?
Well, the House has yet to vote on it, so
sure.
Most folks in the House have kind of kept their powder dry. On the Senate side, Senators Risch and Crapo both voted no on the bill when it came up for a final passage vote in the Senate, but have both indicated some openness to making tweaks here or there, making amendments to it. So I think that this hopefully is a sort of an eye-opening thing for them as well to see where their constituents are, not just their Republican constituents for, you know, primary purposes and the like, but as we mentioned, moderates and liberals as well.
Well, taxes is a bipartisan thing. Everybody gets taxed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pain that we all suffer, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think an issue like this, it does have the potential to be that X factor in an election. Clearly, taxpayers, voters of all stripes, as you mentioned, they're against this sort of thing. And so I think that for Idaho senators, it's important for them to take note of what their constituents feel about it.
Final thought to both of you. How overtaxed are we in America today?
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
I don't know, 64. I mean, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but Listen, obviously, both of our organizations are pretty firmly of the belief that governments are too big and too powerful and too inefficient and too wasteful as it stands right now. And that's part of what drives us on this issue, is this really kind of major concern that what we're doing is empowering states to reach across their borders in a way that's totally unprecedented and is the kind of thing that can really damage interstate commerce and make government grow even larger.
But back to the question, I mean, you have politicians and at one time Republicans talking about cutting taxes, Bill Clinton saying the era of big government's over, and now as you all are trying to prevent this tax from coming in, I mean, people are just frustrated. I mean, the days get longer as far as your tax independence and everything else. Well, people listening here at 580KIDO, whether they're a business person or not, there's just a frustration. Both your groups work to limit taxes. Is there any way that you both feel that we can, you know, kind of get a handle on it and slowly push the pendulum, hopefully, back the other way?
Well, I think the root of the problem is we have a spending problem. I always talk to taxpayers throughout the country, and they agree. It's not that our government has a revenue problem. We don't. Our tax collections are at an all-time high. They continue to rise year after year. But it's our out-of-control spending that forces our government officials to attempt time after time to reach back into our pockets and extract more taxes from us.
And I think that's the answer. You have to reform the spending side. Ultimately, the size of government is what it spends. And reforming the spending side will allow you to do the kinds of reforms that I'd like to see, where you know, don't empower states to do these kind of cross-border state tax collections, but you do all kinds of things inside a state as well to reform taxes to make them lower and easier for businesses and individuals, because I think you're right that folks have kind of had it up to here, and the hope is that we can help turn that tide.
Well, we look forward to hearing from both of you again. We appreciate you stopping in. I know it's been a long trip, so thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580KIDO. 580KIDO. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, by the way, I cracked the code.
InfoWars, if you look at his website, Alex Jones,
I figured out the shadow.
The meetings that Mr. Perry had been with at the Bilderberg.
And the Illuminati know.
What I'm trying to point out is the connection between the globalists that seem to be pulling strings behind the scenes here.
You've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, it's K. Miller here at 580KIDO. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a couple articles. And I've posted this on my Facebook page. Forget economics, forget calculus. The University of Virginia is offering an online course studying Game of Thrones. Wow. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, apparently, the more sleep that you get, how should I put this? I guess the more integrity that you have, according to a new study. Joining us now is Kimberly Hawk with the American Red Cross. Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us here at 580KIDO. We're always worried about the blood supply. What's going on?
Well, we're facing a looming shortage this summer because a lot of people go on vacation, as you can imagine. And surprisingly, we have a large number of high school students that give donations, and they're busy throughout the summer, too. They don't think about it as much. So we're down 8% so far this summer with 80,000 fewer donations. And as you can imagine, that's kind of troubling to us because we have contracts with hospitals to get them the blood that they need so that they can get it to people who are in need of transfusions. And of course, that need never goes down, but donations are going down. So we need to just put it out there to people that it's very important to just remember to come in and donate blood if you're able to.
How much of a difference can blood make in someone's life? Most of us, thankfully, never had to have the blood transfusion. Never have to experience that. How crucial is it to have the blood supply?
Well, it can save a life, and that's why it's so incredibly crucial that we have it on supply should there be a situation where people need blood to survive. And also remember platelet donations. Platelet donations are critical for cancer patients, burn victims, and bone marrow recipients because it helps to clot the blood. So platelet donations are just as important as blood donations. And blood donations only have a shelf life of about 47 days, where platelet donations turn over every 5 days. And that's why there's a constant need to replenish those supplies.
So what can people do if they would like to help replenish the supplies?
Well, we have mobile blood drives all throughout Idaho and in your area. So go onto our website at redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS, and we'll get you scheduled to give a donation.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kimberly.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, I'm trying to find this study, and I just saw it blip on CBS News. And the blip said that the more you sleep, the more integrity that you have. That and this Game of Thrones thing, where you have the University of Virginia offering a course in entertainment. Aren't we entertained enough as it is? Do we really need colleges to come up, and some of them come up with, dare I say, in the politically correct world, some very creative courses? You know, whether it's Common Core or anything else, whatever happened to just getting back to the basics. All right. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Two things that I do want to hit you with before we head out. Number one, the issue involving, well, who's going to pay for your health care?
A Virginia court ruling says the Affordable Care Act allows tax subsidies to all policyholders who qualify. A District of Columbia court ruling says subsidies apply only to policies bought in state exchanges. Depending on which decision prevails, several million policyholders could end up paying higher premiums. White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
Congress intended for every eligible American to have access to tax credits that would lower their health care costs, regardless of whether it was state officials or federal officials who were running the market.
If the Supreme Court eventually takes the case, congressional intent may determine its decision. In Washington, Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio.
Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, can't we acknowledge that the system is broken? Can't we acknowledge to ourselves that we really need to put the genie back in the bottle? And I'm going to tell you a funny story, and this is a true story. And hopefully my friend, we'll just call him Timmy, is not listening. So Timmy hasn't had health insurance for quite some time. By the way, Timmy is the only person that I know that is really going to benefit, has benefited from Obamacare. And he says, Kevin, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go get some male enhancement drugs. I'm going to get a physical. Do you know that a lot of these drugs that we see on TV, whether it's for ED or other proclivities, are covered by Obamacare? And I'm going to get some growth hormone. I'm going to really pump myself up. And I love my friend. He's a great guy. Now, I love him in a heterosexually appropriate way. I do. One of the truest, genuine giving people that I've ever met. I can remember when I got married the first time, I was crying on my wedding day. And he was there. He said, look, it's going to be okay. No, there was good reason to cry. And I can remember when I lost my job in Nashville, he was there going, dude, it's going to be okay. And I felt like I had let him down because I'd worked 9 years to get there, 9 years to be close to him and his beautiful family. And so when we talk about politics, he always says, yeah, Obama got you. But on a personal note, the intent is to help people. But in the end, aren't we destroying business and industry and insurance companies and everything else? Yeah, it's great if you want to go out and get the growth enhancement and be a 45-year-old and act like a 25-year-old. However, at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, it's just not working. And it's really insulting to a lot of us. There are two things that are insulting. And this is a bipartisan issue. It's a pocketbook issue. Take a look at what's going on with the illegals. Okay? And by the way, I really believe until we have confirmation that there are any illegals here in Idaho, and look, I hope that we're blessed and it doesn't happen here. I will tell you that. I hope it doesn't happen here. But the continual, hey, they're at Gowan Field, does a disservice to the men and women that work at Gowan Field. And I'm sure because they have a great press office there, they're not going to hide it. They're going to tell us. We've called them several times. Ray Amaya has gone out there and looked around. because he wanted to know the truth. And so with all due respect to people that call in and say, well, they're out there at Gowan Field or they're getting ready. Have you been out there? Well, no. Well, I know someone that works there. Well, are they willing to come on? Well, no. Well, then it's speculation, and it's irresponsible speculation, is it not? It's the same thing that our opponents do. But I think to myself at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, you know, how helpless are we when all of a sudden we have a loved one that's sick, or the feeling of helplessness that when we ourselves have to go to the emergency room? It is not a fun place. It's a fun place if you're in the medical field. I mean, you want a job where you're always going to have a job? Just get a job in medicine. Be a nurse. Now, being a doctor, that's pretty tough. Being a nurse is tough. But, you know, I will tell you, I went to an emergency room in the past month. And, I mean, those guys there, they have no worries. They have no worries about their industry collapsing. They have no worries about pay cuts. Maybe they should because of the Obamacare. Maybe they should. I wish it weren't the case. Dan in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Hey, Dan.
Good morning. I didn't think I'd be calling in twice in a week, but what you're talking about here is, you know, you got two parties that run this country, and I guess my question would be, do you know what the difference between a Democrat and a Republican is?
I am not going to spoil it. What?
Well, they're both going to spend your money, and that's the difference of what they're going to spend it on. And so both parties are corrupt. And to call yourself a Republican or a Democrat, or to say those are the only two parties, that they want to keep it that way because they've got exactly what they want out of, you know, the voters. But this, yeah, you're exactly right. It is going to collapse. It'll collapse under its own weight because you can't continue to give off the backs of those who produce. We don't have any producing. Do we have any factories in this Ada County or the valley here that really produce? I think more of it's all service oriented and they're weak jobs. And so this is what we get. Until the people wake up and realize it doesn't work. You can't continue to give off the backs of those who produce.
Well, that's what we're seeing here. And you know something? What is a Republican these days? Democrat light? What's a Republican these days, Dan? A Democrat light? What? We're going to, well, we can't get rid of Obamacare because someone will give us a demerit. Well, we can't do I'm sorry. You're going to have to pay the taxes because that's just how it is. You know, you take a look at the differences. You know, let's go back to black and white instead of the nuances of the shades of gray.
Well, hey, Kevin, think of it this way. If you had to write your own check every 2 weeks or once a month to the Internal Revenue Service for your taxes that you would pay out, there would be a revolt in this country within 2 months of the people because they would realize they're not getting what they're paying for. And you personally would have to write that. They take it out of your check, so you become numb to it. You just think that's part of the process. That's what's wrong with this country, is that everything is taken, you know, it's all by design how they created all this. And, there was a caller a couple of days ago, and I think you got in a yelling match with. He was so right, but you didn't let him finish.
No, he was talking about the Bilderbergers, and he lost me.
No, because you didn't pay attention. He was he was spot on. He was telling you this is all by design. This whole thing.
Right.
If you see it, it's right in front of you, and then you go, why do I want to pay into this corruption?
No, then why what's the solution?
The solution is stop paying into it. It's, you know,
well, what are you going to do? You're not going to pay your taxes?
You're going to have to do something, and you're going to have to revolt. I've said this, and it sounds kind of harsh, but there will be a bloodshed over this one. When this economy collapses, and it is going to collapse because it is so fictitious. It's just held up by these markets that are they just created it.
And no, so you're right, Dan. I apologize. I have to go. But as Chris Troupa said,
go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Who is running the country? 73 in Boise. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work. And Kevin Miller with you. If you missed any of our interview with Senator Fulcher, go to 580kido.com for the podcast. Do appreciate you listening. Tell a friend. Like I said, we need you to tell more people to justify our existence. That's the truth. Truly. Good day. God bless. Have a great day. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.